The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem, Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmett.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome. Thanks for coming along today for the Friday edition of The Ride Home. It's a holiday weekend. Some people are starting their holiday a little earlier than others.
Listen.
Walking in the front door.
No, yeah. That's not true. But my, you know, I've got two alarms which tell me when to get into the studio.
Oh, this again.
My second one I disabled.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I don't know how, I think when I was disabling my alarm for this morning, which I had originally set for 6, and I decided last night at 1:30 after I got home from watching Endgame that I was not getting up at 6.
Seriously, that's fascinating. No, that's really a fascinating story.
Listen, I believe I inadvertently shut off my studio alarm for today. John, I'm sorry.
The problem is this is take your kid to work day, but your kid is like really
20 years
an
old.
Adult.
Yes. Yeah. It's bring your adult child to work day here at Word FM.
Held up in conversation. Anyway, welcome.
Yeah.
Memorial Day edition of the Ride Home.
And since I'm late, maybe I should just do right off the bat,
tell you
the good thing.
Tell me what?
Your weekend has begun.
Oh, yes. Very nice.
Way to go. Neato, gang.
Yes. Exactly. It's 5 minutes past the 4 o'clock hour on a long holiday weekend. Truly all is right and well, at least in this corner of the world.
And coming up this hour, we're happy to be welcoming Andy Masick, president and CEO of the Senator John Hines History Center in association with the Smithsonian. And does that man bring the stories?
He truly
or
does.
Or not?
Now, listen, wait, before we continue on with the show, I have to say this, and I think you, New Mike, and I, we are all suffering this malady because after yesterday's one-hour extravaganza
of the worst songs ever recorded,
I am suffering somewhat of a mental breakdown because I cannot get these songs out of my mind.
I have been singing all afternoon, She's Having My Baby. Paul Anka, which was our number one worst song we hated more than any other song.
Right.
And why is that the one that I cannot?
It's kind of catchy. That's why. But it is. There are songs that are stuck in my brain.
Wait here.
You're having my baby. What a lovely way of saying how much.
I mean, you know what?
What a lovely way to say how much.
I like this song.
You cannot.
No, wait a second. Let me paraphrase. Let me frame this. When that song was released, it was a beautiful sentiment in a way. I mean, in a way it was.
It was a love story. No. It's a beautiful sentiment that you might say to your wife in private when no one's around.
Right.
Okay?
It's right.
Not
I think that's what made it so shocking.
Right.
But I would never still sing it the way he sang it. Or not the way he sang it, but the words he chose to sing
are so wrong.
Are really weird.
It was the number one song in the country, you guys. You have to
go
back to that.
So awkward.
People love that song. People love that song. I mean,
Mike, when we listened to it for the first time, we were like beside ourselves.
Yeah. On the floor laughing.
Which is shocking because I can't believe that the two of you, and then by association, your daughter, she had never heard the song before either.
And thank goodness.
I don't know. It kind of breaks my heart. It does.
It is.
It's the worst.
It is. I'm so happy that we voted it the worst song of all time.
Well,
it is so terrible. So our top three.
Number one song.
Sometimes When We Touch by Dan Hill, which is terrible.
Right.
It's so over the top.
Sometimes when we touch.
It gets me.
The arm stays too.
I have to close my eyes and cry.
And I have to
or hide.
My eyes and
hide. That's what it is.
I can't see you. I'm hiding.
It's a horrible song. And then, of course, Muskrat Love by Cats.
Right. Now, okay, that's very clearly one of the worst songs ever, right?
Why would you write a song?
Like the heavens above, looks like Muskrat Love.
I don't know.
How about the little animal noises?
Mm-hmm.
That's a terrible idea.
My guess is that's just a recording session that went a little too long and they stumbled upon something.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that part. How about, what was the other one we hated? Oh, the one that led to She's Having My Baby is,
Right. See,
that's not the one. That
emotional bloviating. Yeah. No, it was Afternoon Delight.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
By the Starland Vocal Band.
And Yummy, 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 I've Got Love in My Tummy. That song.
But we didn't play
we
that.
We did not, no.
No, you know why? Because it should not be played.
But anyway. You know what? I'm really shocked that we put, this was on the list.
Me too, because
I love this song.
It's a fabulous song.
This is
not
a terrible song.
No, it's
not.
This is
a good song.
You're
wrong. This was on the list because I demanded it be on the list. Well, what a stupid song.
Failure on your part.
Sorry.
That's a great song.
I don't
song.
Like that band.
Oh, you don't like the
I
Who?
I don't like anything
oh,
by the
please.
Who. It's great. Not one thing.
Maybe it's a guy's band. I don't know.
Maybe.
I love the Who.
You like it too, Mike.
I love it.
Heck yeah, man.
I love
Listen,
it.
I'd pay to see Roger Daltrey throw that microphone in
oh
the air.
Oh, my God. He seems like a really nice guy you
Pete
want to
Townsend
hang out with. Right?
Smashing
both
his
of them,
guitars.
Both
yeah.
of them. Really nice guys right, you right. want to get to know better. Anyway, if you missed any of our 5 o'clock hour yesterday, we talked about the worst songs of all time. So find the podcast available, johnandkathyshow.com.
Very nice. Let's invite Andy Masick on the show. Okay?
I would like to hear what he thinks maybe the worst song
Oh, that'd be great.
in
okay,
history
good.
Is. I wonder if he remembers...
Of course, he
horrible
does.
Song that I can't get out of my head right now.
Okay, so as Memorial Day weekend starts, I mean, heck, traffic was really light this morning.
People, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, people are taking the long holiday weekend.
Hey, before Andy comes in, inclines. You were reading about inclines today. Tell me about that.
Atlas Obscura, which is one of the web's neatest travel sites. They had released a list, Atlas Obscura did, of the world's most wondrous public transportation options. And one of the options that made the cut is Pittsburgh's own Mon Incline. How about that?
Why the Mon Incline and not Duquesne?
Yeah, I wonder why. Someone says, when I was a student at Pittsburgh's Art Institute, writes Atlas Obscura user Alan
First of all,
Rogers,
let me interrupt and say, as an Art Institute alumni myself, I'm always happy when someone's employed.
Of course, yes. He's had a career after the fact.
Very gratifying.
Says, I rose on the Monongahela Incline, one of the two funiculars, I like that he used funiculars,
right.
to get up to the top of Mount Washington. It's a great place to view Pittsburgh's wonderful downtown. So Atlas Obscura said they could not agree more. They also included WVU's incline. What is it? Or not incline. What's that thing called?
It's like
the PRT system. Right.
That's on cables, isn't it?
I don't know. I've never been on it. I've driven by it. Have you driven by it?
I mean, I saw a picture of it one time.
I think it's a low bar compared to the Mon Incline.
Agree. Okay, but so when's the last time that you were on the Mon Incline?
It's the second incline. It really is not my first choice, right?
I mean, I think I was maybe in junior high.
Maybe so.
Maybe elementary school.
Why is that? Why
because
does one get more love?
Well, because Duquesne is much more scenic.
Yes.
It's a prettier incline. I'm sorry. I don't mean to insult the people who are running the Monongahela incline. I'm sure it's very nice.
Yeah.
But the Duquesne one is more old Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it is.
The Mon incline shouts a little bit more 1960.
I think so, too. Right. A bad
like
sort
the,
of repo
Like the Paul Anka era.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Now, listen, on that list that Atlas Obscura, one of 18, the list includes the St. Charles streetcar line in New Orleans.
Listen, that, have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
I love.
It's like a streetcar named
love,
Desire.
Love that streetcar line.
The Metro Cable in Medellin, Colombia.
Okay.
The Roosevelt Island Tramway, which I used to do in New York City. It leaves Manhattan and goes into the middle of the river. People live there.
Oh, okay.
And there's like this little cable car. And the crazy Elevator de Santa Justa in Lisbon, Portugal. And I don't know what that is.
Mm-mm.
And I've been to Lisbon.
Mm-mm.
Sorry, I missed that. Anyway, Pittsburgh's making the news again.
Well,
good stuff.
All right.
Okay, we'll take a break. Come back. We got more ahead. Andy Masick from the Senator John Hines, Carnegie Center of Science.
Oh, my gosh. This still song is never going to leave.
Seed inside your baby, do you feel it growing? Are you happy in knowing that you have my baby? I'm a woman in love.
101.5 WORD.
Many young married couples are struggling to find a good balance between their marriage and the relationship they have with parents and friends. On the next Focus on the Family, understanding what leaving and cleaving really means and how to make your spouse your number one priority. More about having a healthy, happy marriage next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Tonight at 8:30 on 101.5 WORD.
Hello, radio friends. This is Pastor Dan O'Neill from Eagles Wings Church in the Squirrel Hill neighborhood of Pittsburgh. The Pharisees and Sadducees had a fear that Jesus' body would be stolen from the tomb. However, many of Jesus' own followers found it hard to believe that the tomb could possibly be empty. In the Gospel of John, we see Thomas skeptical even after an empty tomb is discovered. We see John believing in the resurrection as soon as he sees the empty tomb, but there is no evidence that he spoke out his belief. However, we see Mary Magdalene become the first to boldly declare to many that Jesus has risen from the dead. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Tune in Sundays at 11:30 a.m. to Eagles Wings Radio here on Word FM 101.5 as we bear witness to Jesus' resurrection and saving grace.
They didn't teach us this in Bible college. A family in my church has asked me to help with their son who's addicted to heroin. They're in a serious crisis, and I'm so busy with everything else at the church. How do I help them?
For over 50 years, Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge has come alongside local pastors to help them in the fight against addiction in their congregations. Call 724-265-4100 now. Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge, bringing wholeness to the hopeless.
Got different companies running your web design, social media marketing, and geofencing, but not sure which is getting you customers and which is a waste of your dollars? Contact us at Salem Surround. We can put all your digital marketing under one roof, give you monthly reports, and instantly move your advertising to the most effective areas of your digital marketing suite. Salem Surround. Learn more by logging on to surroundpittsburgh.com. Surroundpittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers.
You know, they say the best is yet to come. But to make that true for your retirement, you need a plan. We'll start by tuning in for Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Konodik and Ethan Lane with Accurate Solutions Group every Saturday morning at 10. Kurt and Ethan can help simplify the retirement planning process. No technical terms or calculations, no product pushing, just the information you need for retirement. Don't miss Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Konodik and Ethan Lane of Accurate Solutions Group every Saturday morning at 10 right here on 101.5 Word FM.
Hey, welcome back. Andy Masick is with us. He's a regular guest on our show. Andy's the president and the CEO of the Senator John Hines History Center in the Strip District. Andy is always a great storyteller, includes us in what's happening in and around the city. Andy, welcome back.
It's good to be here.
Thank you. Happy Memorial Day to you.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a happy time.
No, it's not.
Memorial Day, because, we're happy that we had such brave men and women protecting us all these years, defending our democracy, our democratic republic. But many of them gave the last full measure of devotion. Mm-hmm. They sacrificed their lives for us. And so on Memorial Day, we think of them. And we also think of the veterans who are still with us today, who really put it all on the line for us.
Right.
And I think it's great that our country has set aside a day to think about those who have come before, those who have protected us and sacrificed. And it's a good opportunity for us to recognize them.
Yeah, it sure is. And Pittsburgh, of course, has a rich, a deep history of involvement, whether it's the Civil War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam War. And the History Center has artifacts from all those things.
We do. And we were just talking before the session about Allegheny Cemetery. And you go to Allegheny Cemetery or Homewood Cemetery, and you see those gravestones dating back to the Civil War and World War I and World War II and the Vietnam conflict right up to present. And you see those flags stuck in those graves, and Boy Scouts help place those flags. And you see how many of our fellow citizens have served over the years. When you go to Allegheny Cemetery, the first monument you see when you come in, you see a giant obelisk to Alexander Hayes. He was a Pittsburgher during the Civil War who was right in the middle of the battle line at Gettys, Gettysburg when Pickett made his famous charge.
Really?
And it's Alexander Hayes's men, Pennsylvania troops, that resisted that Confederate charge over a mile of open ground. And Alexander Hayes jumped on his horse and with his aides, after Pickett's men started retreating, they picked up Confederate flags and they dragged them in the dust as they galloped up and down in front of their men. And the men threw their hats in the air and cheered because they had resisted the high watermark of the Confederacy. And a newspaper reporter asked General Hayes after the battle, why did you do such a disrespectful thing to those Confederates? They were pretty brave to cross that mile of open ground. And he said, I didn't know what Robert E. Lee was going to do next. I thought he might try it again, and I didn't think my boys could take it a second time. And so he was trying to get them pumped up for the next assault. Well, it's Alexander Hayes's monument that is the first one you see when you come into Allegheny Cemetery. And President Grant, after the Civil War, when he was president, Ulysses S. Grant, he went to that grave site and sat on one of those inverted cannons that mark the site, and he wept for his friend Alec Hayes, who he had served with at West Point. But that's just one of the stories.
So was he from Pittsburgh? Hayes was from Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Hayes was a Pittsburgher. Yeah, he was a lawyer here. He was a West Pointer, but he served as a lawyer after his West Point service and before the Civil War.
And when you go to the cemetery, and more often than not, you'll see statues. And, of course, the statues have been a source of contention these past couple of years in the United States. Can you talk about what you know about the statues and symbolisms for horses and how the feet are on the ground and all that? Because there's sort of like a secret code of what that's all about.
Well, you know, that's actually urban legend.
Really?
Yeah. People say, if one foot is up, the person was wounded, and if two legs are up.
That's urban legend.
Yeah, it really is. And there's no code for equestrian statues.
Is that right?
Yeah. But you read a lot about that sort of thing. No, I think equestrian statues have been around for eons, since the Romans, and there's something about a general or a leader on horseback that gives him power and dominance. And so that's why equestrian or horse statues have been very common. But today, with changing times and sensibilities, the people who were heroes in one generation may not be heroes in the next.
Right.
And whether we're talking about Christopher Columbus or Robert E. Lee or
Stephen Foster,
they didn't change, but our perceptions of them change. And I just hope that in this country we can put those people in context, the context of their time, and try to understand what was going on in our country before we start tearing down statues.
I'm into that, yeah.
I think that we owe it to ourselves to understand them. We also should be putting up statues to people who we really do want to honor today. And that might be, as David McCullough says, our teachers. Who are your teachers? Maybe we should be honoring them. And people, women, how about some women statues? How about people of color, people who have inspired us and contributed to our society?
So instead of tearing down, building.
I think we could spend more time on building new ones and less time on tearing down statues.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's where we are just politically. Maybe it's just a moment that will pass. Let's talk about the Heinz History Center. And recently you had a Vietnam exhibition there.
We just opened our Vietnam War exhibition. It covers the period 1945 to 1975.
Is longer than the actual war.
Well, no, that's really when it starts.
Is that right?
It's right after World War II. It's a product of World War II. We sometimes refer to that period as the Cold War. Well, anyone who was fighting in Vietnam knows it was pretty dang hot. It wasn't just a Cold War, but the United States was worried about the spread of communism. and the Chinese communists and the Soviet Union were spreading out over the globe. We fought in Korea in the early 1950s. The French were in Vietnam. The United States supported the French, and the French were fighting the communists. The communists defeated the French in Vietnam, and then the United States took over.
Stepped in.
But we had been supplying the French with arms and ammunition and advisors and air power while they were there. So it really starts in 1945. But the U.S. ground forces really don't get there till the mid-1960s. And it's President John F. Kennedy who sends in those first troops. And then the war escalates, and after LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, our vice president, took over after President Kennedy was assassinated, he escalated the war. And the North Vietnamese were supported by the Chinese communists and by the Soviets, and the United States felt like we had to make a stand here. Otherwise, the dominoes of communism would start to fall, and all of the countries of Asia would fall. And so that's why we were there. But the soldiers who fought there, our soldiers, they didn't understand all the political machinations and reasons. They went because they wanted to do the right thing for our country.
Right.
And one of the things that strikes me as we research the exhibit is that 75% of the American soldiers who fought in Vietnam were volunteers.
That's not the way we think. If you had asked the average American, they'd say, oh, well, that was I was 95% draft.
Draftees, right. During World War II, 66% of the service people were draftees. During World War II, 66. During the Vietnam War, only 25% were draftees.
Wow.
So, you know,
that's just a misunderstanding.
It really is. And those soldiers and sailors and Marines and air crew, they fought bravely. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I talk to veterans, many of them say, you know, we won every battle we fought.
Right.
We fought hard. And when you look at the casualties on the side of the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong, there were 20 enemies dead for every one of our casualties. Now, that doesn't make it right and doesn't make it good, but it shows you that the American soldier in Vietnam was a very effective
killing machine.
Yeah, fighter.
And it's shocking to think that it was based upon primarily ideology. Right? I mean, this was not about colonization or us controlling an empire. We wanted just to sort of make a point and stop the flow of communism.
That was really our reason for being there. At the same time, the South Vietnamese were fighting the North Vietnamese in a civil war. And they really didn't want the French or the Americans or any other outside power in their country. And yet it became a battleground because of communism and the American view of democratic republics. We supported the South, the Chinese communists, and the Soviets supported the North. And those people in Vietnam suffered terribly. Mm-hmm. Millions died in this. And after the war, many of those people in the South came to the United States.
Yeah.
Many of them right here to Pittsburgh.
Sure.
The boat people.
And they've become part of the fabric of America.
Mm. Andy Masick is with us, the president, the CEO of the Senator Johns Hinds History Center. We need to step away for just a minute. It's our Memorial Day segment here on The Ride Home.
Jen had a very busy day today. Really busy. First, she dropped her kids off at daycare.
Bye, Mom!
Then she had a few minutes before yoga class for a coffee.
Small latte, please.
And then she saved a few lives.
Nurse, 2 units, O negative.
One, an injured child. Another, a cardiac patient. And then, a premature baby. All because Jen logged on to bloodsciencefoundation.org and made a financial donation.
There, done.
You see, local blood donors provide only about half of what is needed to treat patients. The other half has to be purchased and relies on financial donations from people like you and Jen.
Ooh, cake pops.
So, what have you done today? To make a financial donation that saves lives, visit bloodsciencefoundation.org. Blood Science Foundation. Giving from the heart.
We talk about, oh, we're thematic, we're integrated, but what that means at Jubilee is very different.
Jubilee Christian School Principal April Eisman on their award-winning integrated curriculum.
The scripture is infused in everything. Science, math, English. It's not, okay, we're going to have Bible class and then we're going to go have science. Everything is infused with the scripture. Not only that, but it's thematic. And that is very hard to do. You can't go and buy this curriculum. I've never seen anything like it.
Imagine, believe, achieve at JubileeCS.org.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters. Always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, for the extreme in all of us. At ExtremeTruck.net.
Hi, this is Tud Shulkin. Join me and head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, Steelers players Vance McDonald and Stephon Tuitt, and pastors Brian Loritz and Ed Glover for Man Up Pittsburgh on Saturday, June 8th at Victory Family Church in Cranberry. Man Up is a day for all men to work on becoming the best godly leaders they can be. There'll be free food, fellowship, worship, powerful messages, and dynamic breakout sessions. From high schoolers to grandfathers, this is for you. Register today at ManUpPittsburgh.org. Hosted by Urban Impact and brought to you locally by Chick-fil-A of Pittsburgh.
Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
Listen to your favorite Christian programs anytime on the OnePlace app. Download and listen offline. Stream to your car or automated home device. Download OnePlace at Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Partly cloudy tonight and comfortable. Low will be near 60. Then tomorrow it'll be warmer with more clouds than sun. Shower and heavy thunderstorm around in the afternoon, which can be severe with locally damaging wind and hail. 84 for the high. Partly cloudy with a couple of showers around late tomorrow night. 66 for the low. Mostly cloudy and muggy with a shower and thunderstorm around Sunday. High near 80. Memorial Day, clouds and sun with a shower and thunderstorm. High again, 80. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Frank Strait.
We're talking about Memorial Day with Andy Masick. Andy's the president and the CEO of the Senator Johns Hinds History Center. Right now, there is a Vietnam exhibition going on.
I hope that people will come to the History Center over the Memorial Day weekend with some of their veterans and their family. Some of those veterans are going to be from the Vietnam era. In fact, I had a man say to me just yesterday, he came with his father. His father had suffered from Agent Orange exposure in Vietnam, you know, the defoliant that we sprayed over the jungle. And his father was in a wheelchair suffering from respiratory problems. They brought the grandkids, too. And this fellow said to me, Andy, my father's told me more about the war and himself in the last 3 hours than he's told me in the last 47 years.
Wow.
And there's something about the exhibit that brought out those stories. And I think it's important for us to hear them, because that Vietnam generation, those men and women who came back from Vietnam, it was such a horrific experience for most of them, a life-changing experience, that they never talked about it. They never told us about it unless they were together. So they would talk to each other about it, but not to the rest of us. And I think we owe it to that generation to ask them now about their experience.
You know, I think that's an interesting point you're making, and it kind of links us back to our conversation in the previous segment about the tearing down of statues now. I think that we suffer with, C.S. Lewis called it the tyranny of the immediate. Right, so whatever's happening now seems like the most important thing, and it rules everything else. But if we don't take the time to look back and recognize the reality of what was happening at the time, we're really losing track of what's happening now, because we're not. I mean, we're a product of then.
Right.
You know, like that didn't happen in exclusively, and what we're experiencing now isn't happening exclusively.
And that echo of what happened in the Vietnam War in many ways shaped America in the late 20th and 21st century. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Vietnam was singular in its oddity because there was, as you said, Andy, no clear goal to speak of. So there was a lot of fighting between, you know, inner generations, parents versus children and that, and the anger towards that, and the shame of the soldiers who came home, because instead of, you know, in many regions, right, whether it was the Civil War, First World War, Second World War, conquering heroes to some degree, well, these men and women came back and they were put upon. They were looked as, you know, the oppressor, and they lost something that was really deep and immediate to their function as soldiers.
It's a shameful part of our history to think how those veterans were treated upon their return. They just wanted to get back to the world.
Heck yeah.
And yeah, they weren't asking for a ticker tape parade the way their father's generation had received at the end of World War II.
It would have been nice.
Yeah, it would have been nice, but to be treated with such disrespect, because the media, of course, tried to report on the war, and there was a lot of bad news report from the My Lai massacre to the Napalm Girl picture that was on the front of Life magazine. I mean, there were terrible things that happened, but to associate those terrible things with all of the veterans who came back, well, that was wrong.
Right.
And we have an opportunity now to make some amends to that generation. Thank a veteran. Ask them about their experience. Visit the History Center and see the Vietnam War exhibit and try to understand it.
Nice. And so when you think about Memorial Day and that ultimate sacrifice, at the History Center now, I understand there's a piece of a wall that memorializes more than 750 men and women.
That's right. We've recreated a section of the Vietnam Memorial. It's 22 feet long. It's 8 feet tall. It has 752 names incised in it. And they're people from the 8 counties around us, around Pittsburgh, who gave their lives in Vietnam. And it's a very emotional experience, a powerful experience when you see people come up to this wall and they touch the names of the people they knew, and some of them make rubbings on them, and it's a tearful and emotional experience for people. But I think it's a fitting tribute to that Vietnam generation, and everybody remembers in their own way. It might be a prayer at church, it might be a visit to a cemetery, it might be a trip to a museum with your family, it might be a picnic in a park, but take a moment to reflect on the sacrifice of those men and women.
Thanks, Andy. The exhibition at the Heinz History Center continues until when?
The exhibit will continue till September 22nd. We've got a lot of programs scheduled along the way, so stay tuned.
And for this weekend, it's free for all veterans.
That's right.
And
all
current
veterans,
military.
That's right. Come with your veteran family member. It's free on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Very nice. We'll step away for just a minute, but Andy Masick's going to stay with us. When we come back, we're going to turn our attention to World War II and to the June 6th anniversary of D-Day. Stay with us.
WORD.
Hundreds of years before Jesus died on the cross, God wrote through his prophet Isaiah a more vivid description of his son's crucifixion than is found anywhere else in the Bible. I'm Steve Swetz, inviting you to join us on Through the Bible this week as we study Isaiah 53 and gain a new and intimate perspective on Jesus' great sacrifice and God's amazing love for each one of us.
Through the Bible this evening at 9 p.m. on 101.5 WORD.
Hey, it's John Hall. So a while back, the folks at MyPillow said, "Hey, John, can you try out a MyPillow and let us know what you think?" I'm skeptical. I mean, it's a pillow, but what did I have to lose, right? I'll tell you what I lost. Interrupted sleep. No more folding the pillow in half. No more flat, lifeless pillows. It changed my life. So I'm letting you know, you need my pillow. Well, not my actual pillow, but your own my pillow. It stays cool all night long. No more waking up at 3 a.m. to flip to the cool side of the pillow. It keeps its shape. No more reshaping your pillow in the middle of the night. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Try it. Don't like it? Return it. My Pillow comes with a 10-year warranty. Do you have a pillow that comes with a 10-year warranty? You can toss a My Pillow into your washer and dryer. It's like new again. Get a 2-pack of My Pillow's premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-391-0954. Use promo code WORD.
How does Eden Christian Academy prepare students for success? Through education that ignites the mind and inspires the spirit, from pre-K through 12th grade, through 47 state-certified full-time teachers, and opportunities in sports, the arts, and service to the community. With results like SAT scores 200 points over the national average, schedule a tour at any of Eden's three North Hills campuses and see what the area's largest non-denominational Christian school has to offer at EdenChristianAcademy.org.
I'm Kathy Emmons, and did you know that Saturday, May 25th is Farm Heritage Day? Well, it is, and Word FM is celebrating with Marsha and the gang at the Springhouse. Come out from 11 to 4 p.m. Tour the dairy farm, enjoy homemade country cooking, see amazing crafters ply their trade, hear live music, and play old-fashioned games like seed spitting and sack races. And sometime between 1 and 3, I am going to defend my cow milking crown. Farm Heritage Day, Saturday, May 25th at the Springhouse in 84.
Most clubs you join require an initiation fee or a club membership, but not the Word FM Discount Shopping Club. No, in our club, you save as much as half. That's right, 50% on gift certificates and items from local restaurants, health services, and much more. All from the comfort of your computer or smartphone. Log on now to wordfm.com/shopping, and I'll see you at the club. Thank you.
We are talking about Memorial Day, of course. This is the Monday holiday coming up. Andy Masick is with us from the Senator John Hines History Center. Andy, let's turn now from Vietnam and go back to the greatest generation, June 1944, D-Day.
D-Day. Does anyone even know what D-Day stands for?
I don't know what it stands.
I think it's was it Day of Decision?
I think it was just the day.
That, okay.
The
really?
Day that Operation Overlord was going to take place. And, of course, Dwight D. Eisenhower was the Supreme Allied Commander. But his boss back in Washington, D.C. was George C. Marshall, a Western Pennsylvania guy from Uniontown. He was the chief of all American forces, and he's the guy who hired Eisenhower to lead the D-Day Normandy invasion, because FDR, the President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, said, Marshall, if you left to go over there and oversee this invasion yourself, I couldn't sleep at night. I need you here. Mm-hmm. So send someone else. And Marshall sent Eisenhower.
I see. So then, in a nutshell, what was D-Day all about?
D-Day was the Allied invasion of Europe to force the Nazis, the Germans who had invaded France and taken over France, to force them back into Germany and then finally crush them. And so the Allies had been kind of nipping around the edges. They had gone to North Africa. They had gone to Italy. The Soviet allies of the United States and Great Britain were fighting on the Eastern Front. And so this was the Western Front. This is where the British and American and Canadian and other forces got into 5,000 ships, crossed the English Channel, nearly 200,000 Allied soldiers.
Oh, my gosh.
Slam into the beaches at Normandy. The Germans didn't know where to expect it. They thought it might be at Calais or some other place. It wasn't until the very last minute that they realized that the beaches at Normandy were going to bear the brunt of the attack. And of course, the Americans and the British were pretty tricky about all this. They came up with fake armies. They sent fake dispatches and radio signals. They even had blow-up tanks and planes that they positioned strategically so German aircraft flying overhead taking pictures would see, oh, they've got a lot of tanks over there, and that's where General Patton is, so that must be where the invasion's going to come. It was all a game
that's so cool.
That they were playing, like chess. And finally, the day came, the day, D-Day, and H hour was the hour of invasion. And it was nip and tuck there as the Germans blasted the landing craft, especially of the Americans. They actually took the brunt, 4,000 dead in that assault.
And it famously was recreated for Saving Private Ryan. So to see that, the brutality of that, I mean, machine gun, German machine gun nest just raining down bullets. As soon as those landers would open up their doors, these men were mowed down, just fodder.
And the American troops, the airborne troops, were dropped behind the German front lines on the beaches so they could disrupt communications and secure bridges and strategic locations. And they suffered a great deal, too. But it was a success. The thing was so well planned and so well executed that that gained a foothold in Western Europe. And then, of course, the breakout. We had to break out from the beaches through the hedgerow country. The Germans flooded all the fields to slow up our tanks and our infantry, but we persisted. The Allies pushed the Germans back to Berlin, and finally the war came to an end.
So it was extremely important, because had the Allies failed on the D-Day invasion, who knows what would have happened to the war.
That's right. And it was Rommel himself, the great desert fox, who Hitler had put in charge of all the German defenses at Normandy. And he had built a formidable defense there. But the Americans and their allies prevailed, and the world is free as a result. So remember that day, June 6th, 1944, D-Day.
Fabulous. So within the archives of the History Center, I'm sure that you must have so many local soldier stories and related memorabilia and people that would want to hear these stories. It's accessible at some point.
You know, we do have a great collection of photographs and artifacts. When you come to the History Center, you'll learn that story of George C. Marshall, who planned D-Day and who then was in charge of the rebuilding of Europe. You've probably heard of the Marshall Plan.
Yes. Sure.
Well, Europe was devastated as a result of World War II, the bombing and the fighting. And George C. Marshall came up with a plan to fly, to airlift supplies into devastated Germany and France and rebuild those cities and help those people. But there are other people that you might not think of. Jimmy Stewart from Indiana, PA. Well, he was a young man who he was the first of the Hollywood stars to join the Army Air Corps. He had always been interested in flying and had his own pilot's license before the war. But once he got into the war, he said, "I'm here to fight. I'm not here just to make propaganda films." And he flew 20 combat missions. He ends the war as a colonel. Later, he becomes a general in the Strategic Air Command.
Holy smokes.
So, I mean, Jimmy Stewart's a guy.
It's a wonderful life.
How about, yeah, it's a wonderful life. Well, there's another guy from Johnstown, Pennsylvania, named Mike Strank. He was a Marine. He joined when he was 19 years old. He was a Slovak American, and he found himself at Iwo Jima. Iwo Jima, as you know, was one of the most horrific battles in the Pacific theater. American Marines on this volcanic rock, the Japanese forces dug in, and of course the iconic image of World War II is the one of those Marines putting the flag up on top of Mount Suribachi on Iwo Jima. Well, Mike Strank is one of those six men.
No
wow.
Way.
Yeah. And Strank and three of the men in that picture were killed on Iwo Jima within days of the taking of that photograph.
I did not know that.
Strank never made it back. But some of his buddies did come back, three of them. One of them was Ira Hayes, the Pima Indian. Cash song?
Yeah.
Ira Hayes, call him drunken Ira Hayes. He won't answer anymore. Mm-hmm. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war.
Whoa.
Well, Ira Hayes was one of those guys. And he came back and he wanted to find Mike Strank's mother. And they met Mike Strank's mother. And Ira said to her, Mike was the best Marine I ever knew. And his buddy chimed in. He said, Mike Strank was the best man I ever knew. Mm-hmm. So those are...
From Johnstown, PA.
Johnstown, PA. They're some of our heroes. Oh,
that's fabulous. Andy Masick's with us. We're talking about Memorial Day, Vietnam, World War II, the mm-hmm. Civil War, the local roots, the connections with that. We'll take a quick break and come back and join the conversation. Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 3390 at checkout. That's harrys.com. Code 3390. Enjoy.
This is what flow from Progressive sounds like in one of our commercials. You may have seen one there on TV occasionally.
And speaking of motorcycle insurance rates, did you know that our basic motorcycle policies start at just $75 a year? And speaking of insurance, I just love...
And this is how that same commercial sounds on your motorcycle. Yeah, everything's better on a bike. Progressive keeps you on yours. Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Hi, this is Tua Chilka. Join me and head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, Steelers players Vance McDonald and Stephon Tuitt, and pastors Brian Loritz and Ed Glover for Man Up Pittsburgh on Saturday, June 8th at Victory Family Church in Cranberry. Man Up is a day for all men to work on becoming the best godly leaders they can be. There'll be free food, fellowship, worship, powerful messages, and dynamic breakout sessions. From high schoolers to grandfathers, this is for you. Register today at manuppittsburgh.org. Hosted by Urban Impact and brought to you locally by Chick-fil-A of Pittsburgh.
As parents, you're dedicated to seeing your kids live out God's call for their lives, to enter adulthood with discernment, integrity, biblical values, and the ability to thrive in work that's meaningful. To not only make wise and faithful decisions, but defend them as well. At Cornerstone Prep in West Mifflin, pre-K through 12th grade students thrive in an environment that fosters biblical discipleship and authentic education. Cornerstone Prep, ready for life at cornerstoneprep.net.
They didn't teach us this in Bible college. A family in my church has asked me to help with their son who's addicted to heroin. They're in a serious crisis, and I'm so busy with everything else at the church. How do I help them?
For over 50 years, Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge has come alongside local pastors to help them in the fight against addiction in their congregations. Call 724-265-4100 now. Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge, bringing wholeness to the hopeless.
Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian or the Marine that went to war. There they battled up Iwo Jima Hill, 250 men, but only 27 lived to walk back down again. And when the fight was over, and Old Glory raised, among the men who held it high was the Indian, Ira Hayes.
Wow. That's a slice of Americana, isn't it?
I tell you, the hair on the back of my neck is standing up. There's something about...
Oh, about Johnny Cash.
Yeah, yeah.
Though excellent. I have to say, your rendition was admirable.
It was pretty good. Yeah, you hit that tone nice. So, Andy, always, you know, we love the History Center, and especially because now you're connected with the Smithsonian, you have programs that are just outstanding.
Well, thank you. This weekend on Memorial Day, if you come down at 12:30 on Monday, you can participate in a flags folding ceremony that we do with a 36-foot by 20-foot garrison flag. Wow. It fills the whole Great Hall of the History Center, and we'll recount some of those heroic stories of the men and women who sacrificed for us. So that's Monday at 12:30. And if you are interested in learning more about the Vietnam War, we've got a series of programs coming up, speakers, including Lynn Novick, who was the co-producer of the Ken Burns series on the Vietnam War.
On the Vietnam War?
Right. She's coming. Lan Cao, a novelist, author of Monkey Bridge and The Lotus and the Storm. She's going to talk about the Vietnamese perspective. And if you've ever read Tim O'Brien's book, The Things They Carried.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be one of our speakers as well.
Wow.
So.
Excellent.
Stay tuned for that.
Well, there's so much to look forward to
at the
Heinz History Center.
And check our website, the Heinz History Center's website, for more information on those programs.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. Talk for a second about yourself, because every time you come with us, Kath and I just love you because you're such a great storyteller. I mean, what was it like growing up? I mean, storytelling, does it come to you, or is it something that's been developed over time? Was it family dinners? What?
You know, I was a pretty weird kid, I have to admit. In fact, I haven't changed a bit. And when I was...
You were born exactly like this,
right? I really was.
Yeah.
I came out fully formed, just as I am, beard and all. My mother hated that.
Andy Masick's here.
So, when I was a kid, I found a Civil War bullet in my grandfather's trunk at our summer home at Lake Chautauqua, and I loved that bullet. It was this big, fat 69 caliber bullet, and I wrote to curators at the Smithsonian,
really?
And they wrote back to me and told me all about it, and I got hooked on studying the Civil War, and I converted my bedroom into a museum.
I cannot believe that.
This is
so
actually
terrific.
True.
What did you have?
I had paper mache hats. I had wooden swords. I made the Monitor and the Merrimack, the ironclads, out of popsicle sticks painted silver. And you had to take a brochure at my door to my bedroom. It was mimeographed, that purple ink.
Yeah.
And so you had to take a brochure to get into my bedroom museum.
Oh, my gosh.
But the worst thing is I dressed up all the kids in the neighborhood in costumes and uniforms. I converted my Boy Scout uniform into Confederate butternut. And I had everyone dressed up, and I took pictures with Polaroid cameras. They were brand new.
Sure.
So you were a war photographer as well as being a general.
I was. And those were my first exhibits and publications. I published a little newsletter. So, I don't know. I've been weird for a long time. It's not an excuse.
No.
It's just historical context.
You have found your destination, have you not?
So it's almost like the Smithsonian Institution is just looking for weird kids to grow up so that they can employ like
you. Well, thank
you.
Goodness. We need those stories.
We sure do.
Well, I think storytelling is the best way to communicate history. It's not about dates and facts. It's about
real people.
And if you just tell the stories of people, you get sucked into it because you can't make this stuff up.
No, it's right. So cool. Excellent. Well, we're fortunate to have you here, Andy.
Sure.
Thanks an awful lot.
We sure.
I'll see you at the History Center, I hope.
There's no question about it.
Very nice.
We've enjoyed so many things at the Heinz History Center over the years, and we're looking forward to all the people that are coming now. When we went and saw the guy who wrote the Neil Armstrong story, give me his name again.
The guy who wrote the...
Why can't I think of what his name is?
Don't ask me.
You took me by surprise.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway, now none of the three of us can think of it. That was such a terrific night.
Yeah, sure was.
At the History Center. And we hung around. We got to go through the Apollo 11 exhibit, which was
lovely, fabulous.
Which was absolutely terrific. But if you've never been to an event at the History Center, you got to go.
Yeah.
Because there are so many things that are going on that you don't know about, and so many different ways that you can take advantage of what's there.
Yep. And there it is.
Neil Armstrong is an interesting guy. We're going to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the moon landings in July.
Okay.
And he was a soldier or an Air Force pilot, Army Air Corps originally, and then it turned into the Air Force. He fought in Korea. And those are the kinds of guys that they recruited with the right stuff, the guts, but also the smarts they needed to go to the moon, someplace no one had ever been before, and by the seat of their pants, land that lunar lander with 30 seconds of fuel left. I mean, you had to have equal measures of guts and ability.
Yep. You sure did. I mean,
and a lot of problem solving.
Heck yeah, on the go. I mean, the recent film Apollo 11. With that documentary. If you ever get a chance to see that, it's so cool because it breaks down the imagery so beautifully. Andy, it's always a great pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Saturday, tomorrow.
I'll be at the Spring House tomorrow from noon to 2 p.m. I'll be doing the cow milking contest that I'm dragged into every single year simply because
they like to
see a city girl completely collapse in a farm environment.
Right. So
I do it for the purposes of loving the people at the Spring House every 365 days.
Kathy Emmons as the milkmaid at the Spring House tomorrow. What time? Maybe like 1 o'clock? Or so?
12 to 2 is when I'll be there. So sometime between 1 and 2 will be the cow milking contest.
Very nice.
I will lose.
Sharing the word that changes the world. 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh, a service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peterson, Washington. President Trump is sending more troops to the Middle East amid heightened tensions with Iran.
The president says another 1,500 Americans will head to the region.
We're going to be sending a relatively small number of troops.
It's part of a buildup that began after what the U.S. said was a threat from Iran without giving either details or evidence. The Pentagon says the additional troops will focus on protecting those already there.
We do not see these forces as provocative.
Acting Assistant Defense Secretary Katie Wheelbarger echoing the president in downplaying the prospect of a conflict.
I don't think Iran wants to fight, and I certainly don't think they want to fight with us.
Sagar Magani at the Pentagon.
On Wall Street, the Dow by 95 points to 25,585, the NASDAQ rising by 9 points, the S&P advancing 4, and oil up to $58.63 a barrel. This is SRN News.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, driven by Calusi Chevrolet, serving the Pittsburgh area for over 100 years.
Everyone knows, even good people fall on hard times. Your credit cards get maxed out, and you get behind on your taxes. Unfortunately, the IRS is not as understanding, and they won't stop until they collect. They have the power to take your paycheck, freeze your bank accounts, even your home or business could be at risk. It's simply not worth it to take on the IRS by yourself. You need to call the experts at Optima Tax Relief. When you call, be sure to ask about the Fresh Start Initiative. It's a special IRS debt assistance program that could save you thousands, even tens of thousands. If you qualify, Optima will immediately provide you with a team of professionals who will fight to protect you from the IRS, ensuring you get the best possible outcome. The Better Business Bureau has awarded them an A-plus rating, and you will too. So put the hard times behind you and call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-480-6932. 800-480-6932. 800-480-6932.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Since we started Energy Swing more than 20 years ago, we've always looked at this as a relationship business. Most other companies look at it as a transaction. You go out and sell windows and move on to the next person.
When buying windows and doors, Energy Swing believes in giving you the red carpet treatment.
Everybody in the company, all the way through, interacts with customers as they are building a relationship, like you would with a friend or family member, not a transaction. And over time, that relationship is developed into what we call red carpet experience, which starts when you call us to make an appointment all the way through until the truck pulls out of your driveway and beyond. We will come out and take care of them. So that whole relationship experience we have, we've labeled the red carpet experience because that's the way we try to treat our customers. We treat our customers as friends and family, not as a dollar sign. And because of the way we do business, we think we are totally different than everybody else in the market.
Mention WordFM for an additional 5% off over and above any other discounts at EnergySwingWindows.com.
Want to know my secret to make a great-looking lawn last even longer?
All it takes is a second feeding of Scott's Turf Builder Lawn Food. With a simple second feeding, your lush lawn is here to stay. Because a second feeding of Scott's reinvigorates lawns by providing nutrients, which helps prevent browning and withering as the weather warms.
My green grass isn't going anywhere.
This is a Scott's Yard. Pick up Scott's Turf Builder Lawn Food today.
Creation Fest 2019 is coming.
Join us with your family and friends for a weekend of worship like no other.
Over 70 artists like Skillet, Hillsong Worship, Crowder, Elevation Worship, Carrie Jones, 10th Avenue North, and Mendisa.
As well as over 15 speakers like Bob Liggs, Reggie Dabbs, and David Nasser.
Be a part of the Creation Worship Experience set in the beautiful mountains of central Pennsylvania.
Go to creationfest.com to find out more. That's creationfest.com.
Partly cloudy tonight and comfortable. Low will be near 60. Then tomorrow it'll be warmer with more clouds than sun. Shower and heavy thunderstorm around in the afternoon, which can be severe with locally damaging wind and hail. 84 for the high. Partly cloudy with a couple of showers around late tomorrow night, 66 for the low. Mostly cloudy and muggy with a shower and thunderstorm around Sunday, high near 80. Memorial Day, clouds and sun with a shower and thunderstorm, high again 80. With your AccuWeather weather forecast, I'm Frank Strait.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Good afternoon. Welcome along for the Friday edition, the long Memorial Holiday edition of The Ride Home. Kath, good to see you.
Happy to be here, John. You know, very nice. I am super tired today.
Are you?
Yeah, simply because I went to see Endgame last night, and I know I'm a little, like, 2 weeks late from the party.
What's Endgame? 2 weeks? I don't know. What is Endgame?
What are you talking about?
Mike, did you hear that?
What do you mean, what is Endgame?
What is Endgame? What are you talking about? That's the question.
It only beat Titanic in sales. And
it's the number one grossing film ever in all of history.
Is it Avengers?
Yeah.
All right. That's good. How was it?
It was really good.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really good.
How was the house?
Full.
What?
Yeah.
Late night show?
8 o'clock. 8:10, which means it wasn't over till 11:30.
Oh, there's no way.
Which means I didn't get home until midnight.
Did you cry?
Of course I cried.
What? Yeah. Did you cry?
Of course you did.
Okay, so when Mike came in and saw it, you saw it last week, right?
Yes,
before, maybe.
Yeah, about a week before.
Yeah, anyway, Mike came in, he said, I cried three times, I teared up twice.
I did.
That
I
was
did.
The count.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, it's like
that was the count.
Fictional science fiction, what?
You are so pitiful
I
that
am.
You're even asking the question.
I'm sorry, I just really...
He just doesn't get it.
Oh my gosh.
There are many things, of course, you know that I love about the movies, but this is, I just could care less.
Okay, so I cried one time... And the crying went on for
a while.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think for everyone who's seen the film, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
It was just extended crying that went on. Anyway, but I left the movie theater and I thought, you know, that is a really good film.
It was.
I felt like it just brought the whole thing around.
Yes.
It was nostalgic. And it made me think that all the time I had spent watching those movies was worth it.
Definitely.
I really, really appreciated it. But it made me think of the other things that I was excited about watching this summer, because I know that there are other films coming out and TV. And I'll tell you what is number one on the list. Stranger Things.
Oh.
Stranger Things, the third and final season, will be coming out. I believe it's available July 4th.
Love this.
Final season?
Final season. This is it. This will be the end of the Stranger Things story. And if it's anything like parts one and two, it is going to be terrific.
Really?
I love it. But now, Netflix, in an effort to boost its viewership, which right now has, let's see, 149 million paid subscribers, they have reached agreements with a bunch of corporations, and they've set merchandising deals so that people who are watching something on Netflix that is popular and that Netflix is pouring a lot of advertising dollars into are going to be able to see associated merchandising opportunities in your store closest to you. Let me explain
what
this means. Okay. So Stranger Things is a show, if you haven't seen it, that's set in the 1980s. And so a lot of this great 80s music, there's horrible 80s clothes, there's atrocious 80s interior design, if you can even call it that. I mean, it's just really wretched.
Part of it's filmed in Pittsburgh.
That's right. And that's what makes it so funny and charming and fun, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, listen, in the coming weeks, you're going to be able to buy at H&M, which is a store at the mall, clothes that replicate what the characters wear in Stranger Things.
Wait, I've got some of those in my closet.
That's true. And they'd be a lot cheaper than what you can buy at H&M, right? Also, if you've got a Baskin-Robbins close to you, they're going to serve new flavors referencing the program's Scoops Ahoy ice cream parlor.
I love
really?
It.
Because you're going to be able to get the same ice cream that they're eating at Stranger Things. Now, the third thing that is a tie-in to the third season and final season of Stranger Things is the return of a despised beverage. A rejected beverage.
Prune juice?
New Coke.
Oh, what?
Wait. Coke is coming back simply because New Coke is part of Stranger Things Season 3.
Oh, my gosh. New Coke. Do you remember New Coke?
Oh, my gosh, do I remember New Coke. Listen, I have loved Coke since I was old enough to have a carbonated beverage.
Who hasn't? Okay? That's fabulous.
I remember drinking it out of cold bottles that you needed a bottle cap opener for at, like, you know, dusty, you know, cigarette shops in New Kent when I was 4 years old. I mean, I have clear memories of that. So I always loved Coke. So when they brought out New Coke, of course, the first thing you think was, is it going to be better? It's going to be Coke, but better.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
It wasn't.
It was awful.
It was probably the worst marketing blunder in the history of marketing.
Total mistake.
Right.
Complete mistake.
You took something that was beloved and you changed it up. It was a national outcry. Mm-hmm. And 79 days later, Coca-Cola, the parent company, relented and pulled New Coke off the shelves and brought back Original Coke.
And they called it Coca-Cola Classic.
Right. For a long time.
Right.
What the heck?
So it was only 79 days.
79 days.
Jeez.
But I'm telling you, it felt like a national crisis.
Yeah.
How could they do this? I need this. Where's
it
my Coke?
It would be like finding out that, like the Heinz company saying that they're changing ketchup.
Yes.
It's like such a staple. And you think, what more? But the fact that we've bought this for decades from you, doesn't that tell you enough how much we like it?
Exactly. And, you know, of course, as all things, there was a run on it. Those entrepreneurs were selling, you know, old Coke for exorbitant profits. It was a really weird time.
Right. So isn't this an interesting strategy that Netflix is employing? Instead of introducing commercials to their programs, which they're not doing, and believe me, I'm grateful for that because you know how I feel about commercials on television. They are doing these corporate marketing campaigns instead. Right.
Which will raise awareness.
Right. Which I think – raise awareness. Mike, you know I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It's your favorite phrase.
We're raising awareness for New Coke here on the Ride Home with John and Kathy.
That's so pretentious.
I mean, it is, right? I mean, it's going to raise awareness.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so Matt and Ross Duffer, who are the brothers that created Stranger Things, said that the New Coke – and I'm reading here from the New York Times, an article by John Coblin. He says that the New Coke tie-in came about naturally, given that the third season, which I said is available July 4th, takes place in the summer of 1985.
Mm.
That was when the Coca-Cola company fended off the unexpected negative reaction to the
unexpected
sweeter, smoother version. Who wants Coke to be smooth?
I don't need that. Give me that bite.
Exactly. A reaction that included boycotts, letter-writing campaigns, and thousands of phone calls to its headquarters in Atlanta.
Fabulous.
It was one of the first ideas in our Season 3 brainstorm, said the Duffer Brothers.
Hmm.
They said it was the summer of 85, and when you talk about pop culture moments, New Coke was a really big deal. It would have been more bizarre to not include it.
Oh, that's so cool. So the new season premieres. Now, look, I love the first season. As you know, I did not engage in the second season.
Which is better than the first season. I know some people feel differently about it. I like season two better. Hmm. What did you think, Mike? Are you season two?
I liked one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
season
one.
They're both so good.
You're right. They're both really good.
But to go to the full party, I've got to watch season two so
you
I can enjoy season three.
And I got
to
be honest with you. The season two character development of a couple people in particular is so strong and charming and wonderful that if you haven't seen season two, you got to do it, and you're going to love it, and you're going to come back, and you're going to say, I can't wait till July 4th.
Very nice. Okay, listen, we're going to take a quick break and step away, but hey, you should know this. Ladies' Night Out.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's going to
June
be a 21. Great night in June. It's a Friday night.
The Bible Chapel.
It's tickets available. It's food. It's laughs. It's one of my favorite comedians
I mean,
on earth.
oftentimes you get somebody who's funny for Ladies' Night Out, right? I mean, because it's supposed to be.
Well, because if we don't get somebody who's funny, then it's
kind right. But this year, forget about it. This woman, Sherry Lynn, is going to rock the Bible Chapel. She is Pittsburgh's very own, truly one of the funniest people I know, and she's got a particular edge and a hometown vibe here that is just going to make the Bible Chapel hum. So stick around for that. We're going to talk in just a few minutes with Sherry Lynn. It's the ride home here with John and Kathy.
Your weekend's begun.
Oh! 13 minutes past the 5 o'clock hour. The weekend's begun. Hey, every Friday at this time, we always check in at the Spring House with Marcia. Marcia, this is the day that really sets the stage, I think, for Kathy's life.
And I'll be honest, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight because there's so much pressure on me tomorrow around 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Marsh.
Are you excited, Kathy?
I sure am. Now, I'm at the Spring House each Saturday before Memorial Day to celebrate Farm Heritage Day, which is a wonderful day when thousands of people come to the Spring House and just enjoy learning more about what life on a working dairy farm is like. And a part of this, I don't know how this even started years ago, is they bring a city girl like me out to the Spring House, and they ply me with delicious food and ice cream and chocolate milk until I'm willing and my resistance is low.
Right.
And then they take me out to the field and they make me milk a cow next to someone who's an expert so that I look like, you know, I
a
can't.
Rube. It's kind of like Revenge of the City Slickers.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's Revenge of the Farmers is what it is.
Yes.
Revenge on the City Slickers. Anyway, Marcia, I love this day every year, and it's already coming up tomorrow.
I know, I'm so excited. And they're saying a little bit of rain, but we say on the farm the show must go on, right?
No problem. No problem. It's going to be scattered showers, but scattered means that it's probably going to rain before noon and probably after 6, and we'll be good to go.
Well, they're cows. They're used to it.
Yeah, the cows are fine. Okay, yeah. Marcia, so other than my cow milking extravaganza, which is going to happen, what else can people expect tomorrow for Farm Heritage Day?
Well, they can hop on. We're going to bus people to the back side of the farm where we actually milk all 129 cows. And they're going to actually get to milk a cow by hand, see the baby calves, see all 200 animals lined up at the feed bunk, visit the maternity pen. We'll try to plan it so a cow is a calf, but, you know.
Yeah, I know.
A cow is a cow. Tell one of those 129.
That's right. And then they'll actually get to see the milk bottling plant in action and and they should plan to come hungry. We'll have great eats inside, great family meal. And then outside, we're going to have what we call chore kids. It'll be peeling apples, kneading dough, making homemade butter, all kinds of fun stuff that young people can jump right in on and do. And then underneath the tent, we'll have a bunch of old-time crafters, like leather making, quilt making, sheep shearing, what's it called, making it into, oh, my gosh. You know, all that good stuff. I drew a blank.
All that good stuff. It's tomorrow.
Wait. It's tomorrow at the Spring House. It's Farm Heritage Day. I'll be there between noon and 2 p.m.
And pirate tickets to give
away. Oh, and I'm giving away pirate tickets tomorrow, too. I'm going to have them in my back pocket. So be nice to me, and maybe I'll give you one.
It's all going on at the Spring House.
101.5 WORD.
Next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
Submission is not just for wives. It's for Christians. We are to mutually submit to one another. Husbands, by loving your wives. Wives, by submitting and honoring and respecting your husband as unto the Lord.
Tune in next time for PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint tonight at 9:30 on 101.5 WORD.
Stuck in an expensive timeshare contract and feel like there's no way out?
I'm almost at $10,000 in 4 years. I've never traveled anywhere.
They made this sound that this would be a really good deal, that I could go anywhere, anytime I wanted to. That never worked out.
I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO of Wesley Financial Group. I've helped thousands of people get rid of their timeshares. I know all the tricks because I'm embarrassed to say I once worked in the timeshare industry. We've saved suffering timeshare owners millions in debt and maintenance fees. When you're approved as a client, I guarantee you a 100% success rate. We'll get you out of your timeshare, eliminate your payments, and get them off of your back permanently.
I honestly would recommend that you call Wesley Financial. They will help you.
Call Wesley Financial Group now for your free information kit. If they can't get you out of your timeshare, you'll pay nothing. Call 800-220-5757. 800-220-5757. That's 800-220-5757.
Hi, this is Tutch Elkin. Join me and head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, Steelers players Vance McDonald and Stephon Tuitt, and pastors Brian Loritz and Ed Glover for Man Up Pittsburgh on Saturday, June 8th at Victory Family Church in Cranberry. Man Up is a day for all men to work on becoming the best godly leaders they can be. There'll be free food, fellowship, worship, powerful messages, and dynamic breakout sessions. From high schoolers to grandfathers, this is for you. Register today at manuppittsburgh.org. Hosted by Urban Impact and brought to you locally by Chick-fil-A of Pittsburgh.
June 21st. All the ladies are going to be there. Sherry Lynn's going to be there headlining
Cool
Ford
in the
FM's
Gang.
Annual
Ladies is Night Cool Out. In the Gang available for this gig, Sherry?
Wouldn't that be sweet?
I don't know what the budget is, so I can't speak into that.
We don't really know Alive or Dead either.
Okay, yeah. I'm not sure.
We don't know.
That's good. But you're going to be there. Hey, Sherry Lynn.
I am.
Lynn.
Hi.
Good to
Thanks
see you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Fabulous.
Welcome
Always
back to Pittsburgh.
Thank you. I mean, it's good to be here when it's nice. I was here in February with John, and that was questionable.
It wasn't questionable. It was horrific.
Just because you had to move to Florida, that's not our problem.
I know, and that's what I have to always tell myself. You are from Pittsburgh.
Yes.
So be a Pittsburgh girl. So stop whining.
Don't forget
it's
about it.
It's in your DNA,
yeah,
Sherry Lynn.
Yeah, but I did whine. I did.
Okay, Sherry, you spent your whole life, for the most part, being here in Pittsburgh and cutting your chops here. You're a writer. You're a playwright.
Producer.
You're a comedian. You've been in radio. You've been on the stage. You've done so many things. When people say, hi, so what do you do? What do you say?
I try not to. I don't bring up my profession at all unless I'm forced to. Now, that wonderful woman that travels with me everywhere, who is my mother.
Mm-hmm. She's like having a little PR department.
Oh, my goodness.
Is she?
And I'm always like, how do they know what I do? And I'll say to her, Mom, I'd really rather not let people know what I do. And she's like, okay. And we'll be sitting there, and they'll say, so, Sherry, what do you do? And she'll go, have you ever heard of the Brand Hansen show? That's Sherry on there. Like, she's and she has bragging rights. So I try not to. I don't want people relating me. You guys can get that.
Of course.
Right,
well,
I don't want to be related to you if I don't have to.
Okay, so tell us about the Brand Hansen show.
The Brand Hansen show is the show that I produce and I co-host. And Brant has become one of my dear, dear friends. And it's syndicated across the country, about 200 stations across the country. And we get to goof off and talk about Jesus. And sometimes, I mean, you guys know, when you're friends with the person you're on the air with.
Right. Makes it a lot easier.
And you've had other situations when you're not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a blessing. Like, oh, I get to do it's refreshing, and we really do enjoy
it's fun every day.
Company. It is.
Yeah.
It's fun every day, and when we're talking, people can tell that rapport is real. That's not contrived, because you can't do that. I can't do that with chemistry.
Yeah.
If other people may be able to do it, but I can't do it. If I'm not feeling it, then I'm not.
Right.
So,
too painful.
Just really glad. And he has Asperger's syndrome, so he's on the spectrum, and that is, I think, he is happy to have someone who's refreshed by that, and I am, because his honesty is so pure. It's without pretense.
Nice.
And I actually enjoy that. It's blunt, and so other people don't enjoy it, because we've all learned to be these little fake selves that we have, right?
Sure.
But he doesn't know how to do that, so he just says what he's thinking or says what he perceives.
That's so cool.
It is, and then when he doesn't want to talk, he doesn't talk. And I'm not a person who needs someone to talk, obviously, because I never shut up. So I'm okay with him being quiet.
Sure.
And if he has something to say, he will. And I think that was new to him.
I see.
So we kind of fit that way, where I didn't need anything from him other than for him to be him.
Yeah.
And that's how it works.
But what a gift that is, right? So, there is something in front of you, and you make a connection with that.
Yeah.
And there's no pretense, but it's creative and fun. And so you, as the producer, you get to mold that. You get to work that.
I do. And I love that. I love that we record the show and do the show for all of these stations. And then he goes off and he does work for Cure International, who we talked about here not too long ago. And then I do the show. And so all the creative things, all the putting it together, I get to do all of that. But can I tell you all when I moved, you all remember that, when I first moved to California, and I hadn't told my family that I was moving, or that I didn't know I was moving, so I hadn't told them I was interviewing for a job, because I didn't know if it was real or not. I honestly thought, guys, full disclosure, I thought they were just, like, it was an EEOC kind of
thing. Sure, you got it,
Yeah,
hey, we somebody
tried
to get a black
girl, what do you want us to do? So, here she
is. We tried.
Yeah, here's
a
picture of her.
I mean, there's none out there.
We couldn't make
anybody
a connection.
Know a black girl?
Yeah, so I felt like that's what that was. And so I didn't take the interview seriously until maybe the third or fourth time. And you guys walked through the process with me. Around the third or fourth time when I met Brant via Skype, I thought, wow, we actually connected. And that kind of made sense. And then they stopped calling me. They didn't call me for a week and a half, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, it wasn't real. And so I hadn't told my family. And one Wednesday afternoon, my mother called me and she said, Sherry, I was reading this scripture about enlarge your territory. And I believe that's what God is about to do for you. And so, you know, I come from a charismatic family, so God bless us. People get words of faith about peanut butter and jelly. So you just take them as they go. So I said, eh, okay. And she said, don't do that. Don't push this off. I believe it. She said, I read it. She said, I didn't get a chance to finish it because someone came into my, she was working at Highmark. Someone came into my cube. She said, but I put my hand on it, and I believe God's going to enlarge your territory. And I said, okay, Mom. And that was Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday evening when I was going in the Bible study, my phone rang and it was the job from Sacramento, and they said, can we fly you out? And I hadn't heard from them for a week and a half.
Wow.
So then when I went into church after Bible study, I asked my family to stay, and I remember my mom's face when I said, guys, I'm going to Sacramento to interview for a job. I remember her face, like this half cry, but not really. And I said to her, God released it out of your mouth. It wasn't happening until you said it. And I just remember her face not being able to reconcile all of that, and then realizing this is really going to happen.
What a great feeling.
Yeah, it was.
Holy smokes.
And I needed something like that.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Away so far. By myself.
Of course you did. We're talking to Sherry Lynn. She's the producer and the co-host of The Brant Hanson Show, which is a syndicated radio program across the U.S., but she's going to be here for Ladies Night Out, which is coming up on Friday night, June 21st at the Bible Chapel. Tickets are available right now at wordfm.com. I cannot wait. It is going to be an absolutely terrific evening for the women of Pittsburgh.
Sure is. Now, Sherry Lynn,
and
you produced pieces before.
The women of Pittsburgh and John.
Well, maybe.
That's what we should have called.
Yeah.
That's what we should have called tonight.
Yeah. Ladies Night Out and John.
Yeah.
I'll be in a plaid recliner back on stage right, just kind of hanging out.
Good.
Yeah.
I want to get the recliner that Frazier's dad had.
Oh, that kind
remember
of thing
that?
Like that. Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
that
I do.
Old beat up brown
uh-huh.
thing.
I'll be the grumpy old white man.
We can put that on the stage.
Every show needs that.
It does, yeah. What's that all about?
He was actually thinking of just traveling with you, if that's all right.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah,
that's
fine. Okay, so Sherry, you've produced shows before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, large shows, big casts.
Yeah.
But this is you on stage alone.
This is me. Yeah, I'll have singers and I'll have a band. And maybe they'll do a little acting. But this is definitely scaled down from what I usually do. I already had an idea in my mind that I'm going to try to incorporate in some of the things. When I moved to California, my biggest fear was that my nieces wouldn't know me.
They're little.
Yes, they were little. And I was terrified they wouldn't know me. And so when I left, I started making these urban Bible stories, I called them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would voice them, and I'd get people, friends, you know, in the industry that would read, and I'd put it all together.
Nice.
And it would be a story in the Bible, a parable, whatever, from the Bible, with an urban Ebonic flair, because they are two little black girls from Philly. And so I started doing it, and it became popular. And I'm always looking for a way to kind of coincide or cross-pollinate, so to speak, the Bible knowledge that I have, because I have my degree in biblical studies, and the comedy. And that is just something that doesn't usually cross.
Intersect.
Yes. And so I did that, and then I thought, I think I can do some of this on stage. And so this will be the first time that I try some of that out, along with stand-up and music and all the other stuff. I'm going to integrate some of that and see how that flies. And then if it doesn't fly that night, we will no longer talk about it ever again. But it worked for the girls. I mean, I would make my brother play the stories for them before they went to bed.
Wow.
So they would know my voice.
That's such a great idea. idea.
Yeah, it was. It really worked, and I think it's funny. And I this is a terrible sales job for tickets. you hear the person's like, ah, I think it may work. Who knows? But no, I think it will, and it's just going to be a night of fun.
It's going to be a night of lot of fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, just laughter. There's something really faith based in laughter, and
there's something so funny about how we do church.
Yeah.
And it's not, you would notice it because we're so used to doing it, mm-hmm. but sometimes you have to have the, you know, like the little bit of that dark part of your head that steps back and looks at us and says,
what's going on there?
We're really doing this?
And the
like
truth
this?
Teller to show it.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm born and raised in it, right? So I can see
who can
it.
Speak
and,
to it.
Yeah. But to me, because I know a lot of people are kind of doing that humor now, to me, it's never, I never want to mock us because ultimately the church is the bride of Christ. Mm-hmm. I don't know someone who's okay with you mocking their bride, right?
Right.
So it's never about mocking. It is about look at what we do. Why do we do this? Let's laugh at ourselves.
Yes.
So that's how
and
I try to
And then we don't take ourselves so seriously.
That's what I want
to really
happen.
Think that's part of the problem
yeah.
right now in America mm-hmm. that Christians looking at people who have yet to believe mm-hmm. as like the enemy. It's
yeah.
like an us versus
yes,
them
it
thing.
Is.
And I think that's because we take us too seriously.
We take us too seriously. And I would suggest that we don't take the cross seriously enough. Because if I took that bloody scene seriously enough, I know that there is nothing about me that should be taken really seriously other than he loves me. But what we've done is we've kind of moralized things. And so that's what I always say when I go to do these things. I say, I'm not talking to the woman that you want to be. And I'm not talking to the woman that you have to pretend you are. I am talking to the woman you are.
Mm.
And so let's all take our masks
yeah.
off and let's do. And that allows the laughter
yes.
when you don't have to have whatever mask you have to wear throughout the day or
right.
your life. That can go away and we can just laugh. It's not off color humor or anything. It's actually really who you are and who I, and the reason why I know who that is, because it's who I am. And so we get to laugh and enjoy the Lord that way. And I said it before and I said it, say it again, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Oh.
And I think when we make laughter and even silliness, when we take that and we make it opposite of spiritual, we are taking our strength. When we make spiritual serious, you know what I mean? And stoic. I think the currency of the kingdom of God is laughter. I think there's going to be a lot of laughter there, so
yep.
I don't know why we wouldn't start now.
Amen.
Outstanding. Called to be a people of joy.
Yeah.
Right? So Friday the 21st, the Bible Chapel, tickets on sale right now at wordfm.com. There's my wife has already bought tickets. She's
oh,
super
great.
Pumped.
Yep.
It's not,
come
not
and,
that expensive.
You should come and bring all your friends.
Please
yeah.
do.
There's
it's,
a there's a VIP
fun.
Thing
yes.
where you can meet Sherry, hang out with her,
yeah.
and sit close.
Yes, sit close. And look, guys, I just went out there and did a walkthrough through the church.
Cool.
That's a big church.
Isn't it?
Can you guys buy tickets, please?
Come
yeah,
on.
Let's, yeah. You and all your friends.
Seriously, I mean, you know, and I know it's ladies night out, but I mean, guys, you know, you feel sort of like left out because women get together
mm-hmm.
and guys are different. I mean, the only time guys get together is when at a ball game or, you know, some, you know, weird strip club guys, mm-hmm. you know, that's a
right.
thing. Who's
yeah.
doing that? This is not
if,
that.
If Word FM decides to have that type of event, I'm not going to be.
Holy heck.
I can't.
Sherry
I'm
Lynn.
I'm just going to say I can't do that.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, women get together and they have a blast.
That's true.
The guys get together and they just get weird.
Yeah.
So.
We are going to have a blast. I really can from the bottom of my heart guarantee that because there's something just wonderful about coming together and laughing. You remember when we did the comedy show?
Oh my God.
The church comedy show.
Yeah.
The very funny church
just
comedy show.
Just all of us together in that room, that laugh that happens when we all are on the same page.
It was
and
awesome.
We all understand what's being said is a beautiful thing and it's so freeing.
Yep.
And so I actually take laughter very seriously, and I take comedy very seriously.
Well, you do it very, very well.
Thank you.
Really, and super excited to see you out there. June 21st at the Bible Chapel. Sherry Lynn, you're very funny.
Thank
so get
you.
Those tickets now. Get your friends along as well, all right? Ladies' Night Out, the Bible Chapel, June 21st. This past week, independent of each other. Both Kath and I, we loaded up our SUVs and minivans, and we drove up to Grove City College, where we helped our kids take apart their dorm rooms and squish everything in the back of those SUVs and drive home. Why? Because school is over. Another year is over at Grove City College.
And all the stress and all the angst of finals, the last papers, the tests, everything that had to be completed is completed.
Hallelujah.
And now the kids are at home.
The good thing is, it was a hard year, but it was also an excellent year. And, you know, you talk to your kid, you follow along, and you I'm praying for you. I'm wishing for the best. But me, as a parent, knowing that my boys at Grove City College, surrounded by a tight group of guys with Jesus in the middle, I can't tell you what that makes me feel like as a father. I love it so much, and I'm thrilled that another year's over at Grove City College.
And now that we look forward to the summer, both John's son and my daughter have landed jobs that they got in large part because their employers know that they're students at Grove City College.
That's right. People recognize the excellence of Grove City College, know that there's quality there, and with a Christ-like education, deeply in the middle of all that, I mean, it's a bargain. Truly, when you look online at what Grove City charges for their education, you can't pass it up. It's the place to go. If you're looking to send to your child, look online, gcc.edu.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by making minimum payments? You should know. The credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-518-4020. 800-518-4020. That's 800-518-4020.
Pella has done it again with a brand new series called Lifestyle. Wood windows and patio doors delivering solutions for real life. Performance redefined. Unbeatable energy efficiency, sound control, and value. Innovations like integrated blinds, shades, and security sensors. Unique solutions for every room with the best limited lifetime warranty for wood windows and patio doors. For a limited time, get 50% off installation, 12 months, no payments, no interest. Call 888-77-PELLA, PellaPittsburgh.com.
Partly cloudy tonight and comfortable. Low will be near 60. Then tomorrow it'll be warmer with more clouds than sun. Shower and heavy thunderstorm around in the afternoon, which can be severe with locally damaging wind and hail. 84 for the high. Partly cloudy with a couple of showers around late tomorrow night. 66 for the low. Mostly cloudy and muggy with a shower and thunderstorm around Sunday. High near 80. Memorial Day, clouds and sun with a shower and thunderstorm. High again, 80. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Frank Strait.
You know, for decades, generations, Kennywood Park was a family operation. One family ran it, owned it, and their assorted friends and everybody else was part of this. Now, just a few years ago, Kennywood was sold to a Spanish company, which I believe somebody else has bought the Spanish company. So we've lost that Kennywood feel in a way, mm-hmm. you know, where it was more of a hometown, someone's backyard. It's become right. sort of a corporate thing. So much so that just recently at the Potato Patch Fry place that everybody goes to.
It's yeah, like but it's called the Potato Patch.
Place guy thing. You know what it is. You know, where the potato patches are sold.
Yeah. No, the fries are sold at the Potato Patch. The Potato Patch is the locale.
You know
yeah.
where I mean.
No, I'm just here to help.
Anyway, they started to serve Hunt's ketchup instead of Heinz ketchup.
Ooh.
Wrong.
Yeah. And people noticed, of course.
Of course.
This is Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And some guy, as Kennywood opened just this past week, he knew that Hunt's was being served, and he did not want to have that on his potato patch fries.
Because that would be an abomination.
It is.
Yeah. Well, he brought his own French fries. He brought his own ketchup for his fries.
He came into Kennywood Park.
With his own little Heinz ketchup packets.
I love that man.
Heinz caught hold of it. Now they've rewarded this brave soul. with a Heinz package. He's got enough condiments to last him for the next 5 years.
That is awesome.
And he's got tickets to Kennywood, Idlewild.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful story.
They're doing the right thing.
I love that.
If I was Heinz, I would essentially force Kennywood in some way. The price point, it's so cheap that they would have no other option but to have Heinz ketchup.
Well, now they just have the public on their side, so they don't need to do that.
Right.
But, I mean, it's a good point. Potato Patch has made some questionable decisions over the last year.
There's been a bit of a debacle.
Now, Sherry Lynn, you've been in Florida. Did you hear that the Potato Patch changed their cheese sauce?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, and it caused a complete furor.
Weird thing is people notice.
Of course, because I don't want to say that's the whole reason you went to Kennywood, but...
But it's the whole reason you went to Kennywood.
And I'm old enough to remember when there were Kennywood days.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't know if there still are.
Oh, yeah, they're
like... I'm from New Kensington, so we had the first Saturday of June was
New Kennywood.
Day. Yes, New Ken Day.
Mm-hmm.
You had Kennywood outfits. Did you guys have that?
Oh, of course.
Listen,
I
spent a lot of time figuring out what that was going to be.
My first pair of bell bottoms I wore at Kennywood.
Whoa. And you felt good about it, I bet.
Oh, are you kidding me?
You were out there strutting.
Oh, I thought that I was the coolest thing, man. It was like sixth grade. I got this. Me and my green bell bottoms. They were polyester.
Thunderbolt indeed.
There were so many sparks flying off those. I could have set Kennywood on fire.
I remember all of that. I remember the first karaoke booth that I had ever seen was in Kennywood.
Oh, okay.
And when you would come, you come in under that tunnel. Right after the turnpike used to be there.
Right.
And then right after that, it was there.
But right by the old mill.
Yes. It was in that little that arcade.
Oh,
there.
Sure.
So they had that. But I mean, potato patch fries, you don't
mess with the cheese sauce.
No improvement. That
no.
Ever
and
necessary.
What the heck are you doing with Hunt's ketchup? That is. But you know what? Let's not dwell on that. Let's dwell on the fact that it's been remedied. That we're back to the original cheese sauce, and now we got the Heinz in there.
Well, and let's hope that Heinz ketchup reigns supreme, right? I mean, it's a different feel there. That's all I'm saying.
It already reigns supreme. Let's just make sure it's reflected at Kennywood.
Hey, we're going to take a break, come back. We're going to talk about Tim Conway.
Tim Conway just died the week before last from the Carol Burnett Show. He was peerless.
WORD.
Coming up on Love Worth Finding.
Jesus Christ satisfies the deepest longings, the deepest hungers of your heart. Jesus satisfies. Other things get old, but friend, he just gets better.
Study Psalm 23 with Adrian Rogers and discover the secret of satisfaction this month on Love Worth Finding.
Tonight at 11 on 101.5 WORD.
What's inside your mattress affects its price, comfort, and durability. But most mattress manufacturers won't show you what's inside their products because they simply don't want you to know. How can you know if you're getting the best value if you don't know how your mattress is made? At the Original Mattress Factory, we believe that transparency is what's best for our customers. So we have open displays of each model in our showroom so you can see and feel the difference in our products. Visit one of our local Original Mattress Factory stores to see exactly what we're made of.
Not so long ago, all mattresses had two sides, and for a good reason. You can flip two-sided mattresses regularly, making them last longer than one-sided mattresses. So, what happened to two-sided mattresses? In an effort to cut costs, most mattress manufacturers cut their mattresses in half. For nearly three decades, the Original Mattress Factory has believed that building high-quality two-sided mattresses is the right thing to do. Visit us in one of our stores or at originalmattress.com to see how our products are built right and built to last.
Hey, Pittsburgh, this is Tunch Ilkin from my friends at Calusi Chevrolet. If you've been thinking about a new car or truck, now is the time. This month, you could save 18% off the MSRP on select 2018 models still in stock. For example, the Chevy Cruze, Malibu, and Silverado all qualify. And you could buy with confidence knowing the team at Calusi has been serving Pittsburgh for over 100 years. Check them out at Calusi.com. Chevrolet. Find new roads at Calusi Chevrolet.
Today's world craves leaders. Leaders with vision, moral character, and independent thinking. Leaders aren't born, they're made. And since 1986, Rhema Christian School in Moon has laid the foundation that makes leaders. Through academic and extracurricular activities designed to be as instructional as they are competitive. Through mission and service opportunities, arts and athletics. An independent school where pre-K through 8th grade students are formed to become the independent leaders of tomorrow. Schedule a tour at rhemachristianschool.org.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville,
Find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters. Always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, for the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
Famed comedian Tim Conway passed away about a week ago at the age of 85. He's best known for his work on The Carol Burnett Show. Here's just a clip of one of his most famous sketches.
Right here. Okay, now let's see. You want to pull your tooth out. P, T, C, U, C, U, L, C, U, L, L. Pull tooth. T, T, C, O, C, O, T, O, T, O, T, H, we are. Pull your tooth out.
Remember Harvey Korman's The Patient?
No. Here's the thing. What's going on here is that Tim...
It's going to hurt. Please give me something to kill the pain. Yeah.
Tim Conway is playing a dentist, but clearly he doesn't know what he's doing. So he's going to the instruction manual of dentistry to try to figure this out. Harvey Korman, sitting in the dentist chair, is aghast. He's in a lot of pain and just trying to get a tooth extracted.
And as the sketch goes on and Tim Conway gets funnier and funnier and funnier, Harvey Korman just starts to laugh because you can't possibly keep it in.
I mean,
it is one of the greatest comedy sketches, don't you think?
Oh, I love it so much, yeah. You know, as the passing of Tim Conway has gone by, so many people have written great tributes. And Gina D'Alfonso has one. It's called Small Funny Things, The Subversive Gift of Tim Conway. Gina, she joins us from Christ in Pop Culture, where she's a writer. And Gina, it's a really great piece of work. Clearly, you had a deep affection for Tim Conway as well.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I really do. I was a little bit young for the show in its original run, but I was one of those kids who grew up, you know, catching reruns on cable. And, I mean, when you talk about the Carol Burnett Show, it seems like everybody talks about Conway. I mean, he was one of the true treasures of that show.
He sure was. Now, I mean, the idea of sketch comedy in some ways goes in and out of vogue. I mean, when I think of sketch comedy, I think obviously of the Carol Burnett Show. I think of In Living Color. I think of SCTV.
SNL.
SNL, to some degree. But, you know, it's a very interesting strain of comedy. And that it requires an ensemble, and more than anything, I think it requires a lack of ego and a great generosity on the people who are playing ball with each other, and that really was the essence of Tim Conway. He sort of made a point of rising above and surprising his fellow castmates, right?
Yeah, and what I said in the piece is that he had a way of bringing them all together, of making them have fun, too. You know, he wasn't just there to make sure the audience had fun. He wanted everybody to have fun, and the way he did his improvisations and cracking people up and everything brought everybody into the fun, and I think sort of reminded them why they were all there in the first place.
So you quote Carol Burnett in your article, Gina. You say that, I think it was Tim's goal in life to destroy Harvey Korman. Right? I mean, and that's what we all waited for. I mean, when we were listening to the Dennis sketch when you came in, the first thing I remember is Harvey Korman, how he starts to laugh.
Yeah, and he just made that a classic partnership. I mean, it already would have been good. They were both great comedians, but breaking Korman up in particular got to be a thing, and I think it was the thing that people were waiting for and the thing that he just did so very well.
Talk about Tim Conway, the man. I mean, and you write about this as well, that you say that the sad irony of being a comedian is that, you know, there's also a reservoir of pain to dwell on as well. So Tim Conway, the life wasn't always easy for him.
Yeah, he had his ups and downs just like everybody. And when he was a kid, when he went through tough experiences, such as, you know, breaking his back and ending up walking funny for a while and getting laughed at, that sort of gave him a taste of, you know, getting laughed at can be maybe a painful thing, but maybe it can also be a worthwhile thing if you learn to do it right and do funny things and make people laugh for good reasons. So he sort of turned that into something good. And I think that that particular incident also sort of helped lead him to faith later on in life too, because it could have been so much worse than it was, and he felt like God got him through that time and got him through lots of other things too. So,
no, Gina, wait, I'm sorry, I did not know. So you're saying Tim Conway was a man of faith?
Yeah, he was. I don't think it was something that was well known about him. Like, it's not the thing that a lot of people remember about him, but he did come to faith in God, I think, a little bit. I don't know exactly what age. It was sometime during adulthood, I think.
That's interesting.
And he talked about his faith helping him learn to relax more and have fun.
You also have listed a great quote in your article, Gina, that I just loved. He said, quote, "I would much rather stand in the background and make small, funny things than to be up at the head of the class." I mean, that really was what he did on the show so well.
Right.
He was kind of subversively funny.
Yeah. And you guys touched earlier on how this particular art form requires a lack of ego, or at least less ego maybe than some other art forms. And I think really what he was doing showed that, because he wasn't there to glorify himself. He was pulling them all together. He was really, you know, embodying the spirit of sketch comedy, I think, by just taking it to another level, really getting that ensemble thing going.
Gina D'Alfonso is with us, author of One by One, Welcoming the Singles to Your Church. We're talking about the recent death of sketch comedian Tim Conway. So, Gina, John and I have followed with interest over the last week or so Howard Stern, and he's been doing press rounds. He's done a lot of interesting interviews. But I saw a really gripping piece written about him and his regret over how he handled an on-air interview with Robin Williams. And it was shortly before Robin Williams' unfortunate death via suicide. And Howard Stern was reflecting back on it, and he said, you know, I really ruined that. He said, I was so concerned that, and this is my paraphrase of what Howard Stern said, but he said, I was so concerned about being the focus of everyone's attention, that everyone think I was the funny guy, that everyone think that I was the one who had the talent, that when Robin Williams came into the studio, he said, I just cut him off at the knees. I was harsh, I was critical, but most of all, I was self-centered. And he tried to reach out to him and apologize, but sadly, Robin Williams passed away before he was able to do it. And he said, it's one of the great regrets of his life. And I thought about that testimony, that sad testimony, when I read about Tim Conway, your piece today, because I thought, wow, there is something so life-giving about looking at people, when you're in a comedy sense, with kindness, as opposed to being, you know, the one-upsmanship.
Oh, absolutely. And when you are surrounded by talented people, then I think one really good use of your talents is to build each other up. I mean, you can go out and try to cut everybody else down and make yourself look good, or you can build each other up. And I think we would all agree that the building each other up is the healthier, more life-affirming way to do it, and I think Conway showed us that it was a very funny way to do things,
sure,
too.
Sure did, yeah. I mean, you know, Fred Rogers' mother is always famous for saying, you know, go towards the people. She told Fred Rogers, go towards the helpers, right? And
look
then he
the
passed
helpers.
It along. Look for the helpers. But, you know, in some ways you could paraphrase that as well, and I think Tim Conway sort of embodies that you would go towards the joyful people, go towards the people who are without artifice or the big ego, who are the connectors, who bring joy to, you know, the biggest and the smallest among us. There's a lot to be said for that.
Yes, exactly. And like you say, he is a prime example of that. He is a person that people still remember very, very well because of precisely that. And so many people, when they heard that he had died, were just so sorry to hear it and were just reminiscing so fondly about him. And so what he did really lives on, and it's just a great tribute to who he was as a person and just what a great artist he was.
Amen.
Gina, it was within the last year that Carol Burnett won the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Golden Globes. And when she got up to talk after being just a wonderful introduction by Steve Carell, she reflected that type of team atmosphere, that type of team attitude that they had to produce that show. And I thought, you know, after all these decades, her looking back on her work with Harvey Korman and Tim Conway and Vicki Lawrence and, you know, the other regulars on the show, there was this sense of gratitude. She said it over and over again. I'm so grateful that I got to do that. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's so wonderful to think that that's part of my legacy. I can't, you know, I look back and part of me can't believe that I was so lucky to be able to be there. And as she was talking, you could see everybody. I mean, these are hardcore, you know, Hollywood celebrities who've seen it
been
all.
There,
they're so
that.
Cynical and dark. Everybody had a look on their face. It just, there was a recognition that there's something beautiful about the teamwork they had and how grateful they were for each other. And I thought, gosh, isn't that something that everybody, all of us, can learn from?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, you
got
to see it. Gina, you'll love it. You have to see the Steve Carell part and her. It'll make you love both of them.
Yeah, I will look that up. But, yeah, that's just such a valuable thing to work with great people and know that you're working with great people and know that they're supporting you and finding ways to support them. I mean, she's right. That's such a wonderful thing to have in your life. And it really helped make that show what it was and make it great.
Sure did. Gina D'Alfonso has been with us. She is the author of One by One, Welcoming the Singles in Your Church. She joins us from Christ in Pop Culture. She wrote a great piece called Small Funny Things, The Subversive Gift of Tim Conway. Gina D'Alfonso.
Hey, Pittsburgh, this is Tunch Ilkin from my friends at Calusi Chevrolet. If you've been thinking about a new car or truck, now is the time. This month, you could save 18% off the MSRP on select 2018 models still in stock. For example, the Chevy Cruze, Malibu, and Silverado all qualify. And you could buy with confidence knowing the team at Calusi has been serving Pittsburgh for over 100 years. Check them out at Calusi.com. Chevrolet. Find new roads at Calusi Chevrolet.
When wet weather is on the way, keep it dry inside with J&D Waterproofing. Water seepage and a sinking foundation can cause major structural damage if left untreated. Joe Vellante and the team at J&D Waterproofing have the experience to correct your water problem with over 72 years in the industry. Call the Tri-State's premier waterproofing company now at 1-800-VERY-DRY for a free estimate and big savings on all waterproofing services for a limited time. J&D Waterproofing, 1-800-VERY-DRY.
I'm Kathy Emmons, and did you know that Saturday, May 25th is Farm Heritage Day? Well, it is, and Word FM is celebrating with Marcia and the gang at the Springhouse. Come out from 11 to 4 p.m. Tour the dairy farm, enjoy homemade country cooking, see amazing crafters ply their trade, hear live music, and play old-fashioned games like seed spitting and sack races. And sometime between 1 and 3, I am going to defend my cow milking crown. Farm Heritage Day, Saturday, May 25th at the Springhouse in 84.
They didn't teach us this in Bible college. A family in my church has asked me to help with their son who's addicted to heroin. They're in a serious crisis, and I'm so busy with everything else at the church. How do I help them?
For over 50 years, Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge has come alongside local pastors to help them in the fight against addiction in their congregations. Call 724-265-4100 now. Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge, bringing wholeness to the hopeless.
Train up children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Visit PittsburghChristianSchools.net to discover godly teachers and great classmates near you. That's PittsburghChristianSchools.net, PittsburghChristianSchools.net.
Enjoy comfort year-round with a new Trane heating and cooling system. At Trane, they test so it runs. For a limited time, you can get a great deal on a qualifying new Trane system. Visit traneinfo.com to find your local dealer. That's traneinfo.com. It's hard to stop a train.
Things would happen in church that you weren't allowed to laugh.
Word FM presents
Funny Things Were Happening, and we had to pretend like it wasn't happening.
Ladies Night Out with writer, comedian, and playwright Sherry Lynn.
My sister got up and she mimed to a Yolanda Adams song, and it was beautiful.
It's a night out for the girls.
As she was miming and she was twirling, her wig came off.
June 21st at the Bible Chapel.
I have not seen the type of power or anointing that could make us forget your hairs on the floor.
Get early bird admission now through May 31st at wordfn.com.
Okay, so it's the long Memorial Day weekend. Andy Masick was with us earlier. They've got special programs on Memorial Day. And the 111th Lawrenceville Memorial Day Parade, 10 o'clock on Monday morning. Hmm. It runs down Butler Street, ends at Allegheny Cemetery.
That's cool.
If you've never been there, it's really a very deeply moving service, Memorial Day Parade. Also, Sandcastle opens on Saturday.
Really?
Yeah. When's the last time you were at Sandcastle?
I can't think of the time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe this year is the year you go back.
Okay, great.
All right. Taking it to the streets. It's called Open Streets PGH. What they do is they close down certain neighborhoods. The city of Pittsburgh will do this three times this year, and they're going to close certain streets. The streets they're going to close this weekend on Saturday are in Shadyside, North Point Breeze, Homewood, and Larimer. And you can ride your bike around a 4.4-mile circle, and there's vendors, crafts, exercise,
that's so cool.
All kind of cool things. It gets underway at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. Take your bike and go out and
that is super fun.
Run around. Yeah. Also, the East Coast Volleyball Championships are in town. These are young girls, 12 to 18 years of age, all weekend long playing volleyball at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center.
Plus, it's the Pirates and the Dodgers. You're going to see the top two hitters in Major League Baseball.
Josh Bell.
Yeah, and Cody Bellinger.
How about that?
I mean, that is absolutely terrific. So it's going to be it's an uphill climb for the Pirates.
It sure is.
Based on our pitching situation.
Right.
I think we're doing an opener tonight.
Yeah, and Kath is going to be at the Spring House.
Yeah, I'll be at the Spring House tomorrow, noon to 2 p.m. I'm going to be doing the cow milking contest.
Great.
Come out and say hi. I've got pirate tickets I'm going to give away. I'll introduce you to one of the cows.
Right, and there may be some charades going on.
Anything can happen.
Of course you can.
Anything breaks out at the Spring House.
Have a great weekend. Happy Memorial Day.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.